Thank you for being here tonight. I was visiting with a minister of another church here in town this afternoon, and he asked me the question. He said, do you all still have services on Sunday night? And I said, yes, we do. And anyway, he says, well, we quit a number of years ago because we could only get like one or two to attend. And I said, well, that I know that really is discouraging. And so anyway, he told me he probably would start coming and worshiping with us on Sunday evening. So I'm hoping that to be true. But, you know, hope is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And where would we be without hope? You know, the Christian life is lived in hope. And someone has appropriately said that where there is no hope for, or where there is no faith for the present, there is no hope for the future, and that is true. Our hope is built upon faith, the faith that we have in Christ our Lord. I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of hope. Reading in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible says, now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Now that's not to circumvent the fact that hope is really important. It is an important thing, and if you were to go through the Bible, you would find that that word is mentioned a number of times in the Holy Scriptures. Now, I'm not a great connoisseur of art, and or rather some art anyway. I don't know about you. A lot of people like abstracts and those paintings, you know, we have to kind of figure out what it is. I guess I'm more traditional, you know, Norman Rockwell type, but maybe you are too, I don't know. But anyway, one caught my eye not long ago, and it really sent a message to my heart, and it really relates to hope. It was a picture of an old house that had been burned, and all that was left was a chimney, and an old man who appeared to be a grandfather and his young grandson, maybe 7 or 8 years old. And the old man was standing there with just the clothes on his back, and the young boy looked like he had just gotten out of bed and was standing there clutching a pair of patched coveralls. And he was crying, and he began to weep. And the artist some way captured it, and underneath that painting, it showed the grandfather saying to the grandson, don't cry, son. God ain't dead yet. You know, sometimes in life we get the feeling that when we face great tribulation or trials in life, that God is standing aloof somewhere, or that God is dead, or that he does not care. I'm convinced tonight that God is real and that he's just in touch with humanity as he ever has been. I want you to turn tonight for a text in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. In the book of Romans 8 and verse 24, the Bible here begins to give us a picture of what hope is. We often say that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Well, hope is something that we hold on to. We don't really see it. It doesn't come to fruition here. But it translates, and the Bible says, now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love, because you know, if you stop and think about it, love is the only thing that we can take into heaven with us, isn't it? For our faith becomes real and our hope becomes real as well when life is over. In the book of Romans 8 and 24, the Apostle Paul would write these words, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know, I remember years ago, young girls used to have what they called a hope chest. And in that chest, or a cedar chest, you know, or somewhere within their house, they would accumulate a number of things anticipating a marriage someday. And they would perhaps try to acquire as much of those, what they would call necessities to maybe setting up a home and keeping that home as possible. Well, you know, God says that you and I can either live in the casket of the past And we can just simply mourn about all the bad things that have happened to us or all the bad things that are going on, or we with faith can move into the future. There are three things I want you to know about hope tonight that really are important to me, and I really believe that they ought to be important to every Christian. First one being that we must recognize that life does not always operate according to our plans. How many of you tonight could truthfully say that everything you've ever planned in your life, it all worked out that way? I don't think any of us could say that. Probably, we could probably say that there are very few things that we have ever planned in life that ever happened the way we planned them. Every day we make plans and we talk about what we're going to do. Maybe we're already making plans for this week. I want to tell you something. The chances of your plans working out the way that you desire them, hey, it's not going to happen that way. Now, I know you didn't come to hear that tonight, you know, but I want to tell you that that's real and it is true. Many times in life, our plans often go awry. And that is the reason we must say with James that if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. You remember in the fourth chapter, they said, you know what, this is what we're going to do tomorrow. We're going to go into the city and buy and sell and get gain. And James says, you know, we ought to really be praying, if the Lord wills, we will go into the city and buy and sell and get gain. Problems are the interruptions of life, and they are a part of living. Every day brings forth a new set of circumstances. I was talking to a friend of mine this afternoon over in the state of Louisiana, and we were talking about certain things that we're planning for the future, and he said, you know what, this has just been one of those weeks. It seemed like everything that I wrote down that I wanted to accomplish this week, this last week, I just didn't get done. It just didn't happen. And as I said at the beginning of our lesson tonight, that's the way life really is. But there is still hope, you know. And we have to adjust to the circumstances of life, whatever they may be. Sometimes we believe that we will never, ever get things done. But you will. You will accomplish them. Maybe you didn't get it done today, but you'll do it tomorrow. You'll do it the next day. How many of you remember the story of Handel? Handel suffered a stroke 5 years before he wrote the great masterpiece called The Messiah. You've heard The Messiah. It's a very beautiful piece. But he suffered a stroke, and everybody thought his life was over and that there was no chance for this man to ever compose again. But it happened. And he wrote the greatest masterpiece, one of the greatest masterpieces that have ever been written. You may remember the story about Picasso, also the great artist. I am told that Picasso at one time was so poor in life that he had to actually use some of his paintings to burn those to stay warm. Now, isn't that amazing? But you know what? Our text is not really about problems, but it's about hope. And that's what Paul says, for we are saved by hope. Now, consider what he really says here. If there was no hope, why would we want to go on living? I can tell you most assuredly, if I really believe that life was over here once we die, then I would, as the Bible says, of all men be most miserable. And didn't Paul say that also? He said, if in this life we only have hope, we are of all men most miserable. But our hope transcends the grave. It does. It goes beyond this life. And you know what? When I read the Bible, I understand that God is one who actually brings order out of chaos. He brings joy out of sorrow. He brings character out of conflict every day. And the Apostle Paul paints a very vivid picture for us. For in hope we can be triumphant. But there's a second thing you need to know about hope. The first one being that things don't always work out the way we want them to, but even in all of that, God provides hope. But we must also understand that we must never, ever shut the door prematurely on a possibility of a favorable outcome. How many times have we ever looked at life very dismally? And sometimes we see situations and we say, well, there's no hope that it'll ever get better. Sometimes people say that about marriage. There's no way that my marriage will ever get better. There is no way. People say sometimes financially, there is no way that I'll ever be able to get out of debt. And then there is no way that I will ever be happy in life. Don't ever say never. That's what hope is all about. It is about never saying that word. Never. Sometimes people are told by their doctors that certain surgeries, you know, are very serious, and that sometimes only 1 in 10 will live through that type of surgery. You know what we automatically do? Instead of thinking that we are going to be the one who survives, why, we immediately begin to think that we are one of the 9 who will not make it. We are. I'll never forget when I had my heart attack about 12 years ago. And I went over, and Dr. David Dick, I didn't know the man from Adam, as old saying goes. And I was laying there on that stretcher. And he comes in. And I told him that I really appreciated him doing this catheterization on me. He was getting ready to do, and possible a stent or maybe even open heart surgery. And I looked at him and I said, you know, doctor, I really, really appreciate your doing this. And he said, I appreciate you. I said, you do? And he said, yeah. He said, I've always wanted to do one of these. Well, you can imagine what was going through my mind at the time. It was anything but hope. I was thinking, hey, here's the end. It'll be all over the Palestine newspapers tomorrow. Local preacher didn't make it. Why not assume that we will be the one who makes it? What really shook me up is I asked him, I said, how many of these have you done? And he says, how many generally make it out of this? Or do you lose very many? And he said, we generally lose about 1 out of 1,000. And I said, how many have you done? And he said, 999. It is a proven fact that a positive expectation improves a person's chance of survival. I believe that too. That's the reason I like to be around positive people that are motivated, highly motivated people. If you know me and you've known me long, you don't like to be around people that talk negative all the time. I'm not interested in that kind of jargon. That doesn't do any good for anybody. I don't care who they are. And that's the reason the Bible writes with this possibility of hope, not despair. There is mounting evidence that our bodies respond to hope. You know, if a person can worry himself sick, and they do many, many times, can they not believe themselves into good health? You know, the Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like medicine. And it is true, isn't it? A merry heart doeth good like medicine. I read not long ago that Dr. Douglas Steer, who was a noted surgeon in New York, actually made this observation. He said that he had kept records over various surgeries that he had conducted through the years. And he said, he says, when people get ready to face their surgeries, he said he believed with all of his heart that the life view of the patient affected the amount of anesthesia that had to be administered to an individual to put him under. Isn't that amazing? The happier we are, the more hopeful we are, the less anesthetic. Job said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and spent without hope. Now that's a pretty dismal view of life, isn't it? Proverbs, the 13th chapter and verse 12, says that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So you don't want to defer hope because hope will make the heart well. And then in Proverbs 14 and verse 32, the righteous hath hope even in death. 1 Corinthians 15 says, if in this life, there again, we have hope only, we're of all men most miserable. Ephesians 4 and 4 says that there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism. And we are called in one hope, verse 4 says. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1, the Bible says the Lord Jesus is our hope. Hebrews 6 and verse 18, again, we find these words, that we are to lay hold on hope, which is an anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure. You know, I tell people sometimes when they say, well, I just don't have anything anymore to live for. Yes, you do. Your hope. And I'm going to tell you something. That is the most important thing you have. It's not your money. You'll lay your money aside one of these days. It's not your health, because it will eventually bring you to that hour of death. You can't hold on to a marriage relationship when you die. It's over. But you can hold on to your hope. Your hope. The Bible says we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. Romans 8 and verse 28. That gives me great hope tonight. And that brings me to my last point here. We must never, ever let our problems destroy our character. And you know, sometimes they can. I have seen people who have been through a lot of things in their lifetime. And some of those people have been very courageous and very stable and very hopeful. But I've seen other people who went through similar events and it just crushed them. It just destroyed them. Character is what you are. Reputation is what people say you are. We ought to always remember. We ought to always remember not to let problems destroy our character. Hold on to your hope. You know, I can't help but think about the apostles of Jesus when they were going through great trial of affliction, and every one of them died as a martyr, that is, they died for the faith's sake, every one of them. You know, tradition has Peter being crucified upside down. The reason for that is he didn't want to be crucified in the same fashion as his Lord. He didn't think that he was worthy. James was beheaded. Matthew was drugged through the streets of Palestine or through Jerusalem. John was placed in boiling oil and exiled to the Isle of Patmos. But you know what? In all of that, every one of those men who wrote the New Testament would write with great hope. Paul, when he came to the end of his life and knew that he was going to be beheaded, I mean, he's going to be put in a guillotine, his head chopped off, and Paul writes these words. He said, I have fought the good fight, I have kept the faith, and I have finished the course. And henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day, and not only to me, but to all of them that love his appearing. That's not a man that's sipping on an orange Slurpee down on the beach somewhere. That is a man who is incarcerated in prison under Nero, and he is getting ready to face death as a child of God. But he faces death very courageously. Paul says, if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but rather let him glorify his Father who is in heaven. Hope is so important. You know what? It's a lesson I think we all need. Someone has called it the neglected virtue. But you know what? It's something every one of us need to be given every day. Now, whether you agree with Jesse Jackson politically or not is immaterial. But you know what? He came up with a slogan several years ago when he was running for president that I really think really captures what I really believe should be the spirit that embraces all of us. And that is, keep hope alive. Bill Clinton said, I still believe in a place called hope. One of the most interesting gospel meetings I ever held was in Hope, Arkansas. Hope. God came to give us hope. Hope. A number of years ago, researchers performed an experiment to see the effect hope had on those who were undergoing hardship. Two sets of laboratory rats were placed in a separate tub of water. And the researchers left one set in the water and found that within an hour, now they had all drowned. But the other rats were periodically lifted out of that water. They would take them out and then they would return them to the water. And you may be asking now, well, what happened? Well, the second set of rats swam for over 24 hours. You know why? Not because they were given a rest, but because they suddenly had hope. Those rats somehow hoped that if they could just stay afloat just a little bit longer, someone would reach down and rescue them. You know what? If that kind of hope holds that tiny creature, isn't that the kind of hope that ought to hold us to God? You know, I can't help but think about those miners in Chile, way down in Mother Earth, waiting to be rescued. I can tell you the thing that is most important to those men tonight is not their home, not their car, not their money, but it is their hope. Their hope that someone will rescue them someday. Keep hope alive. I want to close tonight with a story I read the other day that really brought all this home to me. Just stop and think about this. The school system in a large city had a program to help children keep up with their schoolwork during stays and while those kids were in the hospital. One day, a teacher who was assigned to the program received a routine call asking her to visit a particular child. She took the child's name and the room number and talked briefly with the child's regular class teacher. And she said, we're studying nouns and adverbs in this class right now, and I would really be grateful if you could help him understand them so he doesn't fall real far behind. Well, the hospital program teacher went to see the boy that afternoon. No one had mentioned to her that the boy had been badly burned and was in great pain. Upset at the sight of the boy, she stammered as she told him that, "I've been sent by your school to help you with nouns and adverbs." When she left, she felt she hadn't accomplished very much at all. But the next day, the nurse asked her, "What did you do to that boy?" The teacher felt she must have done something wrong, and she began to apologize. And the nurse said, no. You don't know what I mean," she said. "We've been worried about that little boy, but ever since yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back, and he's responding to treatment. It's as though he decided that he wanted to live." 2 weeks later, the boy explained that he had completely given up hope until the teacher arrived. Everything changed when he came to a simple realization, and he expressed it this way. He said they wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy, would they? You know, God sent Jesus not only to forgive our sins, to restore our faith, but to restore our hope. And I'm thankful tonight that in Him we have hope. You know, the world doesn't understand that. They think our hope in God and hope in life everlasting is foolish, but it isn't. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and His righteousness. Tonight we're going to sing a song of encouragement, as we so often traditionally do at the close of a service. And this song is a very beautiful song, and it really symbolizes, I think, the hope that we all have in Christ. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. And if you're willing to take him at his word tonight, maybe you've been going through problems in your life, maybe hope needs to be restored tonight. You don't have to tell us what the problem is, but if you want the prayers of the church and you want brethren praying for you, that God would restore your hope and anchor you to him and let it once again become the anchor of your soul, I hope you'll do that. Don't leave out of here without hope. You don't have to. It's yours for the asking while we stand and while we sing.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.